B-Pod Studios.
All right, I want to get a bigger picture on this club at where they are from a national standpoint. He was an executive unlike what we have in front of us now. He was a pleasure to deal with, and I covered him when he was GM, and he was as honest and forthright as he could be. He's now MLB Radio, the former executive Steve Phillips on the Comcast Business Hotline. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, good morning, Anthony. How are you, buddy?
How you been, man?
Doing great. Doing terrific. Thanks for having me.
Always great to hear your voice, buddy. Takes us way back to our days with the Mets.
Yeah, the glory days, right? Glory days back in the day.
So, first of all, we're very upset today in Philadelphia. Andy McPhail came out Friday night and said that he's unsure whether or not they're going to make a move. And fans here feel like, look, you went all in on Harper. You got Realmuto. You knew you had no pitching. You got to get us more starting pitching. How do you view the Phillies right now?
Yeah, you know, when I covered them in spring training from MLB Network Radio, and they sold us hard on the quality of their starting pitching. Like, they believed in Nick Pivetta. They believed in Eflin. They believed in Vincent Velasquez. They thought Eichhoff's coming back. They thought Arrieta is going to have a really good season this year. Nola's going to be great, and he's an ace of a staff. They really sold it hard. And I remember talking to Jake Arrieta. He raved about Pivetta and how he's ready to go to the next level. And what they liked about their pitching staff was that they got swings and misses, right? This is an era of strikeout rates and avoiding contact and all of that. And so they were really fired up about it. But that has been one of the bigger miscalculations of a team's, quality this season. The Mets have had a similar sort of miscalculation about the quality of their team, as Brody Van Wagenen, sort of said, come get us, we're the team to beat. And so they need starting pitching. There's no question about that. There is starting pitching available, and, that starting pitching, if they could add a Bumgarner, if they could add a Stroman or somebody like that, it would really change the dynamic of this team, and I think that make them a much more competitive team down the stretch. Now, will it help them catch Atlanta? Maybe not, but it certainly could make them a wild card team. And my belief is that if you get into the playoffs, you've got a shot to win if you get hot at the right time. If guys start to pick it up a little bit, So, offensively, I mean, they've been a little disappointing in that, Harper hasn't quite, Bryce Harper for me has performed kind of what I expected. I know he has somewhat underwhelmed people in Philadelphia to a degree, but if their pitching has been better, and even their bullpen, I thought their bullpen would be better than what it was. Now, they lost Robertson early, but they had so much depth of guys that I thought that they'd be able to, out of that group, find the hot hand. And it's been better than the starting pitching, but not good enough because of the starting pitching to be able to stay as competitive as they'd like.
Yeah, and they tried to sell you on Neris, but when you're a one-pitch pitcher like that, and that pitch isn't a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, I don't trust you to close, particularly in October.
Yeah, here's the thing. If that was the biggest problem, then it would be pretty easy to solve because there are a lot of options in the bullpen to go out there and get. And look, what Andy McPhail is saying is they're not one player away from being a World Series champion. And yet, I personally think that take a shot to get to the playoffs.
Sure.
And then once you get there, who knows what could happen.
Exactly.
Certainly the Dodgers look like a formidable team in the National League. The Braves are really good. And they make a move here and there. They can get better. But the Braves can be beaten in a short series, and so can the Dodgers be beaten. Kershaw has another clunker. Who knows what Ryu is going to be pitching like come October, because he's never been able to throw more than 130 innings since 2013. And so there are questions about the Dodgers still. So I don't know. I mean, it's all about if you don't think you're a World Series team, should you not get better? And I think there's opportunities to actually add players that get you better this year, but also could be factors for you next season and beyond as well.
Yeah, I mean, Stroman, you got under control for next year. There's a couple of guys out there that you go get that you can do that. And see, the other problem is that when you go all in to the fan base, we're talking to Steve Phillips, terrific, former GM, baseball exec, MLB Network Radio. When you go get Harper, and look, we all thought Harper would have a little bit better power numbers in this ballpark, but they still haven't raked as a whole of a lineup. There's still something a little off with them. But man, you know how it is. You get hot, you got a couple arms, and let's go. I mean, what happens in the first half sometimes will give to something else in the second half.
Yeah, no doubt. And so, and I think the McCutchen injury really hurt because it seemed to me that, and I live this with Mike Piazza a bit in New York, that when you have a star where everybody wants a piece of them, you need to have, and the tendency then for that star is to sort of isolate, that they pull back a little bit and they don't always give you everything, in an interaction with teammates. And I think Harper has a little bit, and it's just the nature of being a superstar.
Yeah.
And you can see it a little bit where he kind of circles himself in and protects himself. McCutchen engaged him. McCutchen had him doing the handshakes. McCutchen had him smiling. McCutchen had, you need a player to kind of pull that star out. Guys used to sort of poke at Piazza when he wanted to retreat and pull him into the group. Now, sometimes it sort of, he came charging in like a bull in a china shop, but it didn't matter. It engaged him back with the team. They need that now without McCutchen in there, and I don't know who that guy's going to be to pull Harper back into it. It's sort of the dynamic of the chemistry of the clubhouse. But look, it's not an indictment on Harper. It's hard to be a megastar and a brand, and everybody wants a piece of you because the way you protect yourself is you put up a wall around yourself. But in the clubhouse, you've got to be engaged. And I think that sometimes it's hard for him to do that. I think there's part of the issue in D.C. with the Nationals, and it's one that they're going to have to do there. Now, they got Harper for the long term, and so they went all in, but they did it knowing that there's a process to rebuilding. And yet this team certainly is capable of being a playoff contender right now. They're right there. And so I wouldn't back down from it. Sometimes it happens a year earlier than you anticipate. And to your point, what happens if they do get hot? What happens if Pivetta does get locked in? What happens if Arrieta's bone chip and bone spurs are settled to the point that, look, if he give you five innings with one run, figure out the final four innings. He's done his job, considering that he's diminished a bit. So I wouldn't walk away from this Phillies team just yet. They haven't gotten hot and really sort of ridden out. And I know they played sub 500 baseball over the last 3 or 4 weeks, but there's still a lot of talent on that roster that I think just has to come together.
Steve, is it fair? Do us a favor and take us inside running an organization. So the Phillies, the way, listen, Klentak, they went from being a very one of the last analytical teams that really launch angles, all the analytic heavy, to being it's their religion. So they did a complete 180. And the oddity, if you look at certain guys that played here, J.P. Crawford, he left. He couldn't hit it all here. He leaves, and the next thing you know, he's hitting in Seattle. Carlos Santana's here. It's a nothing year. And now he's on the hitting cleanup in the All-Star game. Domingo Santana. There's a lot of guys that leave this organization and start to flourish. Can you look at what's being taught at the major league level and down below and then apply it to guys that have success outside the organization?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's a good observation. And the answer is that it's different for every guy. And I live this too. So I'd sign a free agent who Robbie Alomar hit three, or I trade for Robbie Alomar. He hit 300 for Cleveland the year before, scored 100 runs, drove in 100 runs, stole 20 bases, hit 20 home runs. I got him, and he left his game back in Cleveland. Like, he couldn't play anymore. Like, what happened? And a lot of times, when a player signs a new big contract and he goes to a new team, there is that pressure of living up to it and trying to live up to expectations and being something more to justify the contract. When you got the money to be exactly the guy you've been throughout your career, there's a part of the player, and it's a nice trait that you want some guy to try harder. And in this game, it gets you into more trouble. in markets where the fans communicate differently, like Philly, New York, Boston to a degree, but the fans communicate differently, that when they're displeased with your performance, not even just your hustle, but your performance, they boo. In other places, like you go to St. Louis, they just don't cheer. And that's a big difference to the players. And so for some guys who get booed or who people are heckling, it affects them differently. And for most of them, what they do is they try harder because they want to sort of please the fans. And what ends up happening is the harder you try, the more often it compounds the problem and it gets into a deeper hole. And a lot of times it takes an entire offseason to flush out all the bad thinking, all the bad thoughts of what you thought about yourself, because you start thinking bad thoughts about yourself when you're struggling, and you go into the next season with a fresh start trying to turn around, and usually guys are better that next time around. Now, it doesn't help you when you're trying to win and go to the playoffs this year, but I think that you will see a better Bryce Harper next year. I think that you'll see some other guys that have come in that would be better next year just because of the nature of how difficult it is to play in these markets where when they're not completely happy, they boo you instead of just not cheer you.
Steve, what do you think of Kapler?
I think he's okay. I don't love him. I don't dislike him. I think he's okay. I don't know that he's necessarily a difference maker as a manager. I think he's figuring himself out a little bit and growing into it. You know, when you're ready to win right now, you kind of want your manager to have gone through the growing pains of managing. And, you know, he wasn't really a manager. He was more of a minor league director and that sort of thing. And so he's learning a lot right now about what to do and also about what not to do. And I think last year was a tremendous learning experience for him. I think he's still learning this year. When teams go into slumps or they streak, you know, streaky teams oftentimes don't have an ace. Right. The reason you have an ace is to have a guy who's a stopper to stay out of the 5-6 yep. and 7-game losing streak. So you've got that guy that you know when he goes out there, he's going to win for you. Now, Nola's kind of falling off a little bit. But then if that's not working, it's up to the manager to find a way. Right. Like, well, I know this. When I broadcast games, one of the best parts about it was getting to talk to the managers because you realize how different they are. And you know, every guy's different. They all have a certain thing. So, like, for me, Jim Leland would speak in Lelandisms. You'd go into his office, he'd speak in statements, and the most amazing thing ever, you'd go out and talk to his players, and they would regurgitate his statements. They would speak his words back to you, right? And so you knew that his players listened, and they believed it because they spoke his language.
I never knew loggy was a word until I met Dallas Green.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Dallas sort of the same way. And so, like, Bobby Cox was the biggest cheerleader for his guys.
Yeah, he was.
And they would say that if you were 0 for 15, he'd make you feel like you had 10 hits your last 15 at bats. And if you made a mistake, he blamed it on himself. He didn't blame it on you, and he took the pressure off. Joe Torre didn't say a lot. But when he did speak, guys really leaned in and listened, like the old E.F. Hutton commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Tony La Russa was the guy that when you're broadcasting a game, you'd have to think along with him because you knew somewhere throughout that game, offensively, defensively, he was going to steal a run. And so I don't think Kapler's quite there yet. I think he's still figuring out analytics and how he's going to meld that into his personality in that. But I give him credit because he persevered through a tough start, right? You only get one shot at a first impression, and his first impression wasn't great last year, right? He took out Nola early, and it was a little bit awkward, and there were some mistakes made, and he brought in a guy who hadn't warmed up, but he got through it. He persevered, and his players seemed to have respected him to play for him. So I think there's something in there, but I think he's still figuring it out, and a team that's trying to figure it out. And so that's not the perfect connection and formula to be a playoff contender or a World Series champion, to Andy McPhail's point. But the question is, does that mean you don't go for it in some level or some degree?
All right, last thing. We're talking to Steve Phillips, MLB Radio, Network Radio. It's unbelievable. Former executive. How long – this happens about patience – and McPhail, Klentak have been here. This is their fourth season. They've had four drafts. Their first draft, they picked first overall, Mickey Moniak, who doesn't look like he's going to be a big league player. 2017, they had number 8 overall pick, Adam Haseley, looks to be like Moniak. They were both slight of billed outfielders, don't look to be major impact players. How long, and now they have an owner that has a lot of money, how long do you wait? What's fair to turn around an organization to make them a true contender?
Yeah. Well, I think that it depends from where you're starting and in order to sort of look at where you're going. Now, you know, it's one thing to come in and say, okay, we it's torn down to the ground. Let's start to build it up. It's another thing to say we're part of the deconstruction program first, and then we have to build it up.
Right.
Now, I will say that, you know, they had to do some tearing down before they built it up. And, you know, we've seen some of these other rebuilding franchises where they've turned it around in 4 years. And so, you know, they're close to the pace of those teams right now. And not every one of those teams has had great drafts. Teams, I mean, you know, was it Mark Capel with the Astros was kind of a
Yeah,
mistake.
He came through here.
Right, and he came through there, right? And so, you know, even in the Astros, as brilliant as they are, released J.D. Martinez, and he's now one of the best designated hitters and hitters in the game of baseball.
So the Phillies released Charlie Morton.
Yeah, right. And so, and you know, he had shredded groin muscle at the time. And so even the best general managers have those guys out there. Or they have a bad draft. Or, you know, what you do is you hope if you have a bad first round pick, you catch lightning in a bottle with a 12th round pick and he turns into a star. And so, you know, I think that I look at them and think they had to start to deconstruct before they could completely rebuild. I think they're on a decent pace to get things going. The good news is you've got a committed ownership to go in the right direction. Andy McPhail is a quality, experienced baseball guy, I think he was trying to control expectations in what he had to say, and I think there's maybe a better way he could have said their position, because I think if he had said, "Look, you know what? We're not completely overwhelmed with how we're playing so far." That being said, we do still have a solid core to win. We're going to look for prudent opportunities to go out there and address our roster this year to go for it. We're going to continue to build a team that will win a World Series that hopefully this year, and if not this year, then into the future.
Exactly.
And look for opportunities. Right. So I think that that's what he was trying to say. He just didn't say it the way that I think what he was doing, because what we do as executives, we are sensitive to the way our words are perceived,
and
particularly in a market where there's big expectations, and I think there were big expectations of Philadelphia.
Certainly.
He's trying, and I think people are saying, let's go for it, sell out and do this. He's trying to say that we're going to go for it, but we're going to be smart about it, and we just don't want you to think that we're going to give everything away, but that doesn't mean we're not going for it. I think if he had said it differently, the reaction would have been different. And so, I think the way I articulated it is exactly the position that they have, that they are going to look to strike for the right opportunity, the right move, but rental players may not necessarily be our primary targets. Doesn't mean we won't consider them if the price is right. So I think that way people would say, all right, you know what? They're open to everything. They're going to consider going, they're going to go for it, but in a way that makes sense short term and long term, I can live with that. Understanding that we want to win a World Series, not just get to the playoffs as a wild card team, but it doesn't hurt to get to the playoffs as a wild card team. We'll take that. I'd sign up for that right now if I'm a Phillies fan and take my shot once we get there.
You need to come back to work. All right. I need you here, man.
It's a lot better. It's a lot better being a general manager for all 30 teams. At the end of the day, I don't have an owner or an owner's son calling me to have anything to say about the team. It's much easier this way.
All right. Well, if you change your mind, let me know. I'll work on the campaign. You know you got a friend here.
I appreciate it.
All right, brother. Good to talk to you, man.
You too. Take care.
Steve Phillips on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.